morning, everybody. I'll call this meeting of the Howe Sustainable Infrastructure Policy Committee for February 21st, 2024 to order. Quorum is present, so we will get started. First thing on the agenda is the approval of the minutes. May I have a motion to approve the minutes for February 14th, 2024?
So moved.
Thank you. Representative Kraft moves approval of the minutes for February 14th. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion prevails. All right. So we're going to be doing testimony today on House File 4025, the Minnesota Advisory Council on Infrastructure. And so we're not going to take any formal action on the bill today. We're just going to hear testifiers. So far, we have six testifiers signed up in advance. After we hear from those folks, we'll allow members of the public to testify as well. And I also want to draw your attention to the letter from the League of Minnesota Cities. They have a written testimony, and so you can refer to that in your packet. So, online, sorry, thanks. And so the first on the agenda is Director Russ Mathis. He's the Director of Public Works for the City of Eagan. Welcome to the committee, and if you could please state your name for the record and continue with your testimony.
Thank you, Chair Cagle. Russ Mathis. Russ Mathis, City of Eagan Public Works Director. All right. Well, good morning, Chair and members of the committee. Thank you for inviting me to speak this morning. So each of you are here today because you care about your community and the state. Initially, you were likely motivated to create change because it was important to you that something be done differently. You were impassioned enough to invest your life in order to do what was needed to be done to make Minnesota a better place to live, work, and play. Well, I'm here today because I'm passionate about the topic that I'm discussing. And each of you have played a role in this already in establishing the legislation last year for the task force. And I believe that we can have an impact similar to what you desired when you first got involved with the legislature with what is being proposed here, both now and then long into the future. It's all about sustainable infrastructure. That's the name of this committee, so it's the right place to be. And it's about infrastructure from Alexandria to Minnetonka and from Rochester to Wabana Township. So why am I speaking today? I recently participated on the Minnesota Infrastructure Resilience Advisory Task Force. I was appointed to the task force due to my role as the chair of the Asset Management Committee for the American Public Works Association's Minnesota chapter. I've been the Public Works Director for the City of Eagan for the past 12 years, and last year was selected as one of the top 10 national leaders in public works by the American Public Works Association. I'm excited about the proposed Minnesota Advisory Council on Infrastructure, which I'm going to refer to as a MACI from here on out. So, as I believe it will work in a non-regulatory capacity in tandem with the stakeholders or in tandem with stakeholders to identify and recommend best practices that will preserve and extend the longevity of Minnesota's public and privately owned infrastructure. The task force engaged reps from several infrastructure industries across the state, including all state departments. And they all members had a strong interest in defining and maintaining a vision for the future of Minnesota's infrastructure that will provide for proper management, coordination, and investment. The task force had numerous engaged discussions that addressed broad perspectives. Together, we created the draft proposal for MACI. Responsible infrastructure people across the state need to be educated and enabled to be successful. Nearly all public and private organizations are doing the best they know, but are often limited to only reactionary efforts due to a lack of time or funding for proactive planning. Minimal efforts such as these are only going to lead to minimal success and eventually numerous failures. I like to grouse hunt near Reamer and Deer River. I worry that these towns may not be around for my grandchildren to hunt in the nearby. Failing drinking water and sewage disposal systems, many of which were federally funded over 50 years ago, may not allow some communities to continue. A successful MACI may limit such failures and help coordinate flourishing communities. In Eagan, I looked out 100 years and saw that we would not be able to continue to provide safe drinking water and protect homes from flooding without making changes. Working with finance staff, we shared the concerns and a plan to address them, and the city council made the needed changes. A successful MACI will help guide such change for other communities. Now, MACI will need funding to function, even though the council members are not proposed to be paid. Funding could provide facilitators to act as the initial administrator for the MACI, and possibly as long-term project coordinators, as well as a future paid executive director position. MACI would easily become another asset management committee with only volunteer efforts. Just to be clear about that, so if we just have volunteers and there are not paid positions, we're going to only get volunteer efforts. I head up a bunch of volunteers on the asset management committee that I work on. They're wonderful people, but we're all busy, and we all have things to do, and without having the paid administrative folks, it gets really challenging to accomplish things. So even with funding, I'm a bit concerned about the MACI being enabled to succeed. The challenge is in the lack of authority with not becoming a regulatory agency. And to be clear, I support the lack of a regulatory authority or another having another one, and that's not what I would suggest that MACI is. But I will suggest that incentives for state and federal funding be created as an option that require the implementation of some type of asset management for public and private agencies in order for them to be eligible for such funding. In the end, the MACI will need to find advocates which I hope are start with the members of this committee, that can establish such incentives or requirements. Otherwise, the MACI will lack a clear line of sight to managing risk in the state and ensuring that good decisions are being made. These are my goals, and I haven't shared them with too many people, but my goals for MACI are that education and empowerment of every public and private entity occurs in regards to asset management and taking care of infrastructure, so that all of us, all customers, are going to get the best bang for our buck on managing those assets and infrastructure. Other goal for me with regards to the MACI is that the utilization of state and federal funding is prioritized to enable the best overall quality of life for Minnesotans that is practical and affordable. There's a lot of needs in the state with regards to infrastructure, and those needs are only going to increase. And it's at some point in time, we're not gonna have enough money to take care of everything that currently exists. So there's gonna be some tough decisions that are gonna need to be made in regards to what is the most important things to do, and I believe that MACI can help with that regard as well. So with that, Chair Kegel, I'm available for any questions. Or
thank you. Well, if you want to, are you able to stick around?
Yes, ma'am. Yes,
thank you. So we'll go through the testifiers, and if there's any questions, we can call you back up.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Next on the agenda, or next testifying is Ms. Anjali Baines, the Managing Director of Transportation for Fresh Energy. Welcome to the committee. If you could please state your name and proceed with your testimony.
Hi, welcome, good morning, members of this committee. And thank you, Chair Kegel, for inviting me to testify today. So my name is Anjali Baines, and I'm here on behalf of Fresh Energy, where I lead our transportation work. Fresh Energy is a Minnesota-based clean energy nonprofit working to achieve carbon-neutral economies by mid-century, in line with our state climate goals. I also served on the climate change subgroup, the last update to MnDOT's statewide multimodal transportation plan, where a lot of discussion around climate change and its impacts on our physical infrastructure took place. I appreciate the opportunity to speak in support of House File 4025. As a clean energy organization, we are often focused on reducing climate pollution, also referred to as climate mitigation. However, as we heard yesterday during the University of Minnesota's presentation on climate change risks in the House Climate and Energy Committee, we also need to consider climate adaptation, which means planning for a future where our warming winters cause more rapid freeze-thaw cycles, thereby stressing our roads and bridges, our summers are hotter, thereby stressing our energy systems, and we have more precipitation, thereby increasing the risk of flood and the need for proper stormwater management systems, as we just heard. This planning needs to happen, and it needs to happen now, both to ensure our physical infrastructure is resilient to our changing weather patterns, thereby saving us money and on repair and maintenance in the long term, and so this infrastructure is also designed in a way that could contribute to reducing climate pollution. Setting up an advisory council on infrastructure, as this bill does, is not only the right move for Minnesota, but an urgent one. Fresh Energy supports the coordination and planning outlined in this bill, and thanks Chair Cagle to have the foresight to bring this to our collective attention. We also support adding to the responsibilities of this council, safeguarding and improving public and environmental health. This is actually inspired by Michigan's own infrastructure council, which includes in their mission supporting public and environmental health. Finally, the availability of billions in federal funding, especially from the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, especially makes the creation of this council even more timely, given the important and strategic role it can play in coordinating and optimizing use of these funds. As a previous testifier mentioned, you know, there's not enough funding for everything, to have this council to actually optimize the use of those funds would be wonderful. For all these reasons, Fresh Energy supports this bill. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Next on the agenda is Matt Mussman, Executive Director of the Minnesota Intercounty Association. On deck, we'll have Elizabeth Waifel. Welcome to the committee. If you could state your name and proceed with your testimony.
Good morning, Chair Cagle and members of the committee. Thank you. My name is Matt Mossman, Executive Director of the Intercounty Association. MICA represents 15 of Minnesota's larger and faster growing counties, not including Hennepin and Ramsey. Thank you, Chair Cagle and committee members, for the opportunity to offer some comments on House File 4025 this morning that would establish a Minnesota Advisory Council on Infrastructure. And I also want to thank those of you who served on the Infrastructure Resilience Task Force over the legislative interim. Public infrastructure has been a critical need facing most communities, and developing, replacing, maintaining that public infrastructure is increasingly more costly and challenging. We are grateful for the recent state and federal prioritization of funding for capital infrastructure. And I think with that, now is an important time to not only be continuing to invest in public infrastructure, but also to be planful about how we can extend the useful life of infrastructure, build infrastructure that lasts longer, is more resilient, sustainable, adaptable, but also more accessible and accommodating while supporting alignment of those infrastructure needs across jurisdictions and categories of infrastructure. Well, MICA does not have a formal position on this legislation. We want to really appreciate along with the increased funding, both state and federally, has also come shifting expectations and opportunities for how those resources are best used at the local level. And so building and ensuring that the technical and organizational capacity is in place across all levels of government is an important concept that we think is reflected in House File 4025, because a key part of doing that is promoting and providing for the opportunities for stakeholder collaboration across state, local, public, private stakeholders, while also supporting both the development and the dissemination of best practices and developing education and expertise along with it. In doing so, we appreciate and encourage the creation of the council continue to reflect on its participation by local governments, and really importantly to local governments, also doing so in a way that preserves and promotes local control and flexibility of how state policies best apply locally. and encouraging and coordination goals through voluntary engagement at a stakeholder table rather than through mandates and means. So in closing, we just really want to appreciate promoting the systematic collaboration across stakeholders and best practices of areas of expertise like that reflected in the advisory council. We appreciate Chair Cagle's work on this and bringing the bill forward. We are looking forward to continuing to work with you on this legislation as it moves forward, and I'll stand for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next up is Elizabeth Wafel on behalf of the Coalition of Greater Minnesota Cities. Welcome to the committee. If you could just state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Chair Cagle. My name is Elizabeth Wafel, and I am a senior attorney with Flaherty and Hood appearing on behalf of the Coalition of Greater Minnesota Cities. I want to thank you and the rest of the committee for allowing me to speak with you and comment on the Minnesota Advisory Council on Infrastructure. For those of you who are not familiar with our organization, the CGMC is comprised of more than 100 cities throughout the state outside the seven-county metro area, ranging from La Crescent in the southeast to Laverne in the southwest, Grand Marais in the northeast, and Roseau in the northwest. Our largest members are Moorhead and Mankato at about, I think they battle it out for about 45,000 people. Smallest are Nashua and Keewatin at just under 1,000. Some of these cities are located on rivers, some on lakes, some are not near any major water bodies. Some are in the karst region in southeast Minnesota. Some are in the glacial prairie, while others are in the heavily forested areas in northern Minnesota. Some are close together. Think about the greater Mankato area. Others are in parts of the state, such as the northeast and northwest. You got to drive quite a ways between our cities. The cities do share a lot in common, but as you might guess from my description, there are also a lot of differences between our cities, which means that there are going to be different approaches to infrastructure and asset management that depend on things ranging from geography, geology, hydrology, as well as population and even the latitude of our communities. Looking at this proposal, I think the goals for this proposed council are ambitious and wide-ranging. They could do great for the state. We're also worried that this proposal may not provide the assistance that our communities need, particularly the smaller ones. Looking at the breadth of issues that the infrastructure types that this council would be tackling, it is difficult for us to imagine how a staff could understand these issues well enough to provide the guidance and assistance communities need, or that could provide best practices that work for all variations in our communities. We really do appreciate the chair and this committee's interest in helping our communities do infrastructure planning and asset management better for the long run, but we believe a more targeted approach may be more cost-effective and beneficial for our communities. For example, the thing I work on a lot is water and wastewater. There are already several organizations, such as Rural Water and the University of Minnesota's MNTAP group, that provide best practices and other assistance to cities, particularly the small ones. Perhaps some of these goals could be funneled through pre-existing organizations like those. Or thinking about energy, there are organizations that you may think of them as lobbying, but they actually have a technical groups like the MMUA, MREA for the munis and co-ops that provide continuing education and technical support to utilities, as well as the Minnesota Clean Energy Resource Teams or Minnesota Center for Energy Environment that provide guidance to cities, counties, and other entities. Perhaps additional funding and goals for these groups could work on the goals we have with respect to energy. There are also, if you look across the state, regional development organizations that provide technical assistance to their local regions, and because they are focused on specific geographic regions, they can provide more tailored assistance for our communities. These are just a few examples of existing entities that already provide important expertise to our communities. And although we appreciate the impulse to pull together in one entity, we believe our communities may be better served by supporting existing entities that are already doing this work and that are more geographically tailored. One last comment on the proposal itself. If the task force moves forward together as a single entity, we cannot emphasize enough how important it is that the legislation specifically dedicate specific board member seats to people living outside the metropolitan area. The metropolitan area consists of over 3 million people living in seven counties. That's like a small country. There are 2.5 million Minnesotans spread throughout the other 80 counties. Infrastructure is going to look different. Wastewater is going to look different. The MCS, again, that's like providing wastewater to a small country when you're looking out across the state at other places where you have wastewater facilities that are pond systems serving a small area. They have similar goals of clean water, but how you do it, sort of sustainable infrastructure, very, very different. And, you know, best practices that make sense for St. Paul or Minneapolis may not work for St. Peter or Manoman. Thus, if this moves forward, it needs to be structured to recognize the distinction between highly urbanized areas and the rest of the state. Going to be honest, testimony from the gentleman from Eagan scared me a little bit. Again, I just don't think it serves the state to have a group, you know, that does not guarantee half the spots to greater Minnesota, telling us how to be doing things with sort of the goal in mind of shutting cities down in greater Minnesota. That testimony is kind of scary. That wasn't in my written script, but that was my reaction. So I really do think we have an amazing state. And, you know, one of the goals, if you know our organization, is to ensure that that amazing state stays great throughout the entire area. And if we are going to do this, we've got to do it in a way that makes that happen. So I want to close my testimony by thanking you again for allowing us to comment. We hope that we can work together to target important resources to ensure that our infrastructure is built, that it's sustainable, that it's maintained and operated to last into the future so that Minnesota can continue to be the great state that it is. Thank you.
Thank you. Next on the agenda is Abby Hornberg, Minnesota policy organizer from the Blue Green Alliance.
Good morning, Chair Cagle and members of the committee. My name is Abby Hornberger. I am the Minnesota Policy Organizer for the Blue Green Alliance. We are a coalition of local union and environmental partners uniting around policy that ensures that our energy future creates high-road jobs and creates a thriving local clean energy economy. I'm here today to speak in support of establishing the Minnesota Advisory Council on Infrastructure. This work in the quasi-governmental agency would make Minnesota communities aware and connected of all the state programs and resources that we established in the last year. This would also help us identify barriers to utilizing state programs and have a more tailored approach to those smaller communities and larger communities across our state. Recommendations from the MACI will put forth solutions to ensure ease in accessing these public resources for legislators to consider. Thanks to state and federal investments, we have stood up all these immense new programs to exist to improve Minnesota's infrastructure. And we must work to bridge the gap between staff responsible for implementation of these projects and state agency programs that exist to support these communities. Many professionals around the state are navigating implementing projects that have been completely new to them. This advisory council will serve as a needed coordinating and education space for asset management to create that co-learning that will create a tailored approach to these communities. Conducting pre-design and feasibility studies will help ensure that more infrastructure projects happen across the state and will result in high road jobs provided to these communities. Thank you for the opportunity to comment.
Thank you very much. Next on the agenda is John Curry, Executive Director of the American Council of Engineer Companies of Minnesota. Welcome to the committee.
Good morning, Chair Cagle and committee members. My name is Jonathan Curry, and I am the executive director of the American Council of Engineering Companies of Minnesota, which is a mouthful. So ACEC Minnesota for short. ACEC Minnesota represents over 100 consulting engineering firms in the state of Minnesota. That equates to more than 6,500 employees and engineers across the state. These engineers provide services to all sectors, including federal, state, local governments, private industry, and the public at large. Our member firms range in size from one employee to thousands of employees. Professional engineers take an oath to protect the safety, the health, and the welfare of the public, and our members take this oath very seriously. This is why ACEC wants to take this time to thank Chair Cagle for her work on HF 4025, a bill that aims to ensure that Minnesota's infrastructure is designed and built to the highest standards possible for the benefit of the health, safety, and the welfare of the public. The 2022 ASC report card on infrastructure gave the state a mediocre grade of a C rating. And a mediocre is the report card's term, not mine, for a C rating. It's no secret that in the state, we have a lot of work to do to improve our state's infrastructure and improve this grade. During the 2023 legislative session, Minnesota made historic investments in infrastructure through the largest capital investment bill in the state's history, a robust transportation bill, and providing the state match to the Federal Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act. This is why it's very important that when the state is investing in historic dollars in Minnesota's infrastructure, that the council that Chair Cagle has proposed is in place to ensure the best practices are adopted across the state of Minnesota. These best practices include preserving and extending the longevity and the life cycle of Minnesota's both public and private infrastructure, provide efficient and effective management of that infrastructure system as well. One of the duties assigned to the council is to identify approaches to enhance and expedite infrastructure coordination across all jurisdictions, including engineering. As an organization that represents engineers from all parts of Minnesota, we believe that ACEC Minnesota would make for a very good partner on the council and would ensure that the engineering perspective is included in spaces where engineering-related decisions are being made. We are hopeful that Representative Cagle will consider adding ACEC of Minnesota to join the council in its important work to plan and cultivate Minnesota's infrastructure. ACEC Minnesota looks forward to continuing a dialogue with Chair Cagle and the rest of the committee on this bill. Thank you very much for your time this morning.
Thank you. That concludes the testifiers who signed up in advance. Is there anybody else in the audience that wishes to testify? Now is your chance. All right. Not seeing anybody, we can move to some questions. If there's any questions that folks have of particular testifiers or just in general, Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Chair. Could Mr. Curry stop back up to the testifying table again? Please. Mr. Curry, thank you for your testimony. Appreciate your knowledge and experience in the world of engineering. But the way the committee stands now, the structure, the voting membership, it's 11 members politically appointed by legislators. The non-voting members are on the commissioners here in St. Paul. Does that concern you that unless you are added to this organization or this council, that your voice may be missing the voice of actual experience and knowledge in construction and engineering?
Mr. Curry.
That does concern me. I'm not an engineer by trade, but I work with engineers every single day to advance their position across the state. And I can tell you from my experience consulting engineers and engineering firms at large, they're at the front lines of all these decisions that are being made in regards to infrastructure, whether it's horizontal infrastructure, vertical infrastructure, mechanical, electrical, geotechnical. Engineers are at the front lines, and that first 1% of the work impacts the rest of the 99% of the work. So, I am very concerned that if the engineers are not part of this conversation, that the conversation could get off point, off track. And I think our members in the engineering community would be a great addition to a committee like this.
Thank you. I think, I've had lots of the groups approach me asking to be included as well. I do want to point out, though, that it this is just recommendations, kind of the list here. And so engineers could still be appointed, but I take the point. And I think one of the things I'd like to do is maybe kind of look at this list again and see if that's something that we can work on for the markup meeting. Any other questions? Representative Ream.
Thank you, Chair Cagle. We're looking at, our state has the fifth most built out road infrastructure in the country. And I'm thankful that we did a lot of work in the past session to fund it. We didn't have a funding mechanism before, and I'm glad we do now. Our state experienced a major highway collapse. So I think it's really good that we have, we're preparing to create this council. One of my questions would be about people who don't drive or who don't want to drive, who can't drive, the disability community. Do we have plans to have representation for those people? I've ridden on Metro Mobility, and it's not one of the best ways to get around town. So I'd like to hear if we're planning on adding someone who would represent people who don't or can't drive.
Thank you, Representative Ream. I think that's one of the things that we will discuss during markup is exactly who should be kind of the recommend or who the appointees should be looking to appoint those members. So is there any further questions for our testifiers? Representative Igo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just kind of want to discuss a little bit about what I started talking about last week, and this is just the committee kind of oversight, if you will, with, and I'll just point it out in the bill language, line 617 through 621, where in line 16 it gives the governor the ability for executive orders and state agencies for programs, policies, and practices and implementation. I think there's a huge concern here that this political appointed committee with voting power would be able to basically give legislative power away to the executive branch for rulemaking. I think it's incredibly important that we keep the power of the legislature here where we make those decisions. I think, the committee in itself, the idea of putting us together is one worth having. However, when you do something like this, it's removing the power of this committee out of the legislature and putting it into the executive branch. So I think if you could elaborate a little maybe on that, or if there's a testifier that wants to share concerns or questions to that, that's a major concern I have with this legislation.
Thank you, Representative Igo. So those, I think if you look at line 6.17, it's advisory recommendations, if any. This is strictly an advisory group, and so anything that they do will be advice to us, and that gives us the power to change policies. I guess I'm not real sure where we would give rulemaking power.
Well, Madam Chair, if you will, the 6.19, 6.20 say right there that the governor for executive orders or state agencies for programs and policies and practices. That right there is clarifying in your bill language that the recommendation could go to the governor to do an executive order or to a state agency to implement requirements. That right there is giving away power of the legislature to this politically appointed board. So even if the legislature doesn't approve it, if it's in the executive branch, decisions can be made outside of this chamber.
Thank you. Yeah, I think that, again, it would be just a developing an advisory recommendation, but I'm willing to work on the language. So. Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other further questions to any of the testifiers? All right, then. So no other stuff on our agenda. We will not be meeting next week for precinct caucuses. Yeah, you guys will have to drive up north again, right? And then come back. You're going to be, that stoplight, man. Except how will people ever stop at Treasure City then? You don't have, Royalton is that place that you always stop, even if you don't want to. So we will be having, March 6th will be. Sorry, that was.
There'll be letters coming in from Royalton.
I love Royalton. So we will not be meeting next week. So please be prepared to for committee on March 6th to mark up and vote out for 425. And then I also will follow up with Representative Igo. I do want to make sure that we get that House File 342 on the agenda. And if we have time, we might be able to do that that day too. Any questions about the plans going forward? All right, see you guys in 2 weeks. Meeting is adjourned.